Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with My Opel, rewarding loyalty and taking care of members.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Grocery shopping. Love it or hate it, just about every family has to do it. And with the climate emergency, the way we shop and what we buy is in focus like never before. Now, with me in studio for more on how green our groceries are is Elaine Butler, who runs the Living Lightly Ireland blog, and Chef Erica Drum. You're both very welcome. Thank you for coming in today. Do you think, Elaine, firstly, that people consider their choices when they're in the supermarket in the context of the environment? Are we there yet?
I think people are starting to, and I think it depends on the amount of time you have. I think if you're rushing through the grocery shop, you're just putting things into your trolley. But I do think people are more aware of it, particularly when there was a shortage of certain items at the beginning of COVID, and finding out, you know, that we weren't really producing as much food in Ireland as we might have thought we were. And I think that that has had an impact. And then also the talk about the carbon footprint of certain foodstuffs like meat versus plant-based food. So I think it's starting to be spoken about a bit more, but I'm not sure people know how to choose in a way that's better. But I think they would. There's an appetite.
Joanna Donnelly from Met Aaron was talking to us about this on the television programme the other night. And she was saying she was trying to get Irish apples. So I was trying to get Irish apples in the supermarket, Erica, and I could not find an Irish apple. Now, I eventually did. There was one pack left, but the rest was from New Zealand, from France and from Spain. And it can be challenging for the shopper, can't it?
100%. That actually happened to me as well a few weeks ago. And I asked the manager why. Because I was in just a big chain, a normal supermarket. There must have been 10 different packets of apples, and I could not believe it. He didn't really know the answer, which is fine. We are coming into harvesting season at the moment. We would have harvested a little bit over the past few weeks. Mm-hmm. Apples stay in refrigerators for up to a year, but maybe we've sold out all of ours and we're still importing it. I don't know. We also export them. We need to figure out a level. And as the consumer, it's a big thing to do is to ask your shopkeeper, your manager, whoever it is, don't be shy and say, why are there no Irish? There was no Irish potatoes about a month ago in the same supermarket. I was honestly mad, but well, you can't.
Apples, maybe you can understand. Potatoes, yeah. It's harder to understand.
It's scary.
But it's not even as simple, is it, Elaine, as picking the locally produced item? Because you could have tomatoes grown here that are grown in a greenhouse and they're using a lot more carbon to do that.
Well, if the greenhouse is heated. So it would be very hard to grow a lot of stuff in Ireland if we didn't use greenhouses. But it's just, some studies have now shown that if you ate one diet in one country versus another country, so, you know, I think they compared Spain and Switzerland. And so maybe you have to grow tomatoes under glass in Switzerland and heated, that same diet in Switzerland would have a much higher carbon footprint. Mm-hmm. A higher carbon footprint, let's say, than the one in Spain where you're able to grow them outside or they don't need to be heated. So I think a lot of people sort of know instinctively roughly when things are in season. So if you are buying strawberries at Christmas, like, you do have to ask yourself, how are these grown? If they're not in season, it's likely they need additional support. And so as well as having heated greenhouses, you might also have additional fertilizer, herbicides or pesticides, and they're all generally made with fossil fuels. And so there's that carbon going into the atmosphere as well from having to support crops that aren't naturally in season mm-hmm. when we want to buy them. Mm-hmm.
Do you buy mostly from farmers markets?
I do now. Now, I am lucky, and I know not everyone is, but we have a really good farmers market close to me. During COVID, what we started to do was to order online from, and I order from a farmer who grows some produce himself, but he also imports produce, but he'll always aim to buy as close to Ireland as possible. And so I don't really have to think about it. So he's doing it for me. And the great thing about buying online, I found, like, I tried veg boxes in the past, the ones that are just the seasonal fruit and veg. And I'm just not great with kale. We didn't know what to do with it. I mean, we were swimming in it. And we ended up putting an awful lot in the compost heap. And so that was defeating the purpose. So I started ordering just the fruit and veg that we normally eat. And what was great about doing it online during COVID is I took a note of the prices in a way I wouldn't have done when I went to the market. And actually, my farmer's market, the veg supplier there, he's on a par with some of the mainstream supermarkets, maybe not the discount supermarkets, but definitely the ones. So they're not as expensive as people think, particularly if you're buying in season.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Do we know, Erica, what's in season? Have we lost sight of that because we're used to having strawberries at Christmas?
That's the thing. I heard you say that you think people might have a general idea. Sadly, I don't think so. I think in certain aspects, like rhubarb. We all know rhubarb comes at the start of spring, or people who are into their food maybe or growing it. But unfortunately, I think the disconnect has gotten even bigger over the last, say, 20, 40 years with urbanisation. You know, I asked my mother recently, would you have grown up with food growth and you know, people having vegetables in their garden? She said, 100% sure we had a plot and potatoes. I said, none of us, our generation, and it was not, no offence to her, it just didn't happen. We didn't understand. So that comes down to seasonality. We don't, especially younger kids now, I think that's a really important thing to educate. So if you're someone listening who knows about when something is in season, teach someone younger or, you know, one of your peers, because we all need to spread the word of why it's more important. It comes locally. It's usually going to be cheaper. It's usually actually going to be better value for you, mm-hmm. and higher in nutrients and everything because it's been grown here.
And let's move on to meat. If you're eating Irish beef, Erica, is that as bad as having an avocado from Chile or Peru?
Okay.
It's a hard one to answer, I know.
It is. And sadly, there's a lot behind each of the subjects, but I'll give you one little suggestion is to watch a Netflix documentary called Rotten, and they have a full episode on avocados and what's going on. And avocados, sadly, are causing war, much like drug wars over in South America because of their value, because we all want them and the craze came in during the 90s and it's just gotten bigger. When it comes to beef, I don't want to kind of put a standing of you know, preaching or anything like that. Personally, I have reduced my beef consumption with the knowledge of what all of us are learning these days, you know. And also I've...
How often do you eat red meat, would you say?
Probably once every 2 weeks, maybe. Mm-hmm. But I'm not mad for it either.
What about you, Elaine?
So we have it once a week. And like I was trying to become more vegan and the family, we've increased our vegan, vegetarian, I wouldn't say vegan actually, that's probably pushing it, our vegetarian meals maybe twice, three times a week. And there was research that was carried out in relation to meat against plant-based meals. And I was sort of hoping that locally raised meat would trump plant-based food. Because I know in Ireland, the beef that we raise in particular, it's one of the most sustainable ways to raise beef globally. But unfortunately, on average, eating plant-based food is always better for a planet point of view, mm-hmm. than eating meat. Although you can have high emission tofu and meat and nuts, which can be higher in carbon than chicken and pork. But low carbon meat, generally, it's based on the amount of calories or protein you get per kilo. And you end up with younger slaughter ages and denser stocking rates in order to decrease the carbon footprint of the meat. So I think we do need to pause for a moment and say, do we want to do that in order to have lower carbon meat? But every study across the world, regardless of the meat that's been talked about, says that we need to reduce our consumption of meat.
And how is that working in your family? Because that can be a difficult situation to deal with.
Yeah, it can. There's a bit of negotiation that goes on. So I'm trying to not eat meat unless I need to for, you know, health reasons. So I haven't really kicked out eggs as much as I'd like, or cheese, because they're sort of hard to replace. But we have found the meat alternatives, like the plant-based meat alternatives, have been quite good. So we have vegan burgers on a Friday with chips, and the kids like them. And my son loves vegan sausage rolls. I know they're not as healthy as having, but his diet is a whole other discussion. and what I'll do is, like, I find really good recipes for something that could be vegetarian, and then I might put in fried chicken breast or prawns into the dish for my daughter and my husband, and so I'm having the vegetables.
Well, look, tonight on Clareburn Live, Eileen Whelan, newsreader, Brian Redmond from Dancing with the Stars, Fair City's Ryan Andrews, they're going to see if they can taste the difference between the meat-based burgers and the veggie equivalent. So looking forward to that tonight. But for now, Erica and Elaine, thank you very much indeed for joining us on the programme.